I want you to take your Bible, please, if you would, to the book of 1 Timothy, chapter number 6. And I'm not so much going to preach today, I don't think. I'd just like to share with you some information. And I do believe that you love the Lord or you wouldn't be here. I do believe that you want to please the Lord or you would not be here. Now, some may want to please Him more than others. But if you did not want to please God today, you would not have taken the bother to get up and prepare and come to the Lord's house. Today, I believe in our own way we want to worship the Lord and please the Lord and do what He'd have us to do. Is that not so? I don't question anyone's motives or integrity today. I believe the young folk in their way wants to please the Lord with their life. It's just there's a lot of influences and a lot of things being thrown at them. And I think we need to be patient with them. If you remember, you used to be that way too. And so I just want to share some information with you today. And please, I want you to realize that what I'm speaking on and trying to help you with is for your benefit, not mine. And I want you to look at the subject title today, Beware of the Money Trap. Amen. Beware of the money trap. Probably the one thing in this old world that pulls on you with more tenacity, and it would be money. The most sensitive subject in your life today is probably the subject of your money. See what a tight spirit we have here today? Beware of the money trap. 1 Timothy chapter 6. And you say, well, preacher, this is not why I came to church. You get a hold of this, you might come to church for the right reason. And you might get a whole lot more out of it. And it might be a whole lot more precious to you. Years ago when I was in evangelism, they used to question me why I spoke on money the first two or three messages in the meeting. And I said, because you cannot serve God and mammon at the same time. Unless you get those squared away, you're never going to have revival in America. Let me read it for you. And I'm not gonna let you miss the almost Super Bowl. You know, someone said years ago, second's not bad if you don't mind standing in the line with losers. Amen. So this evening we have the Loser Bowl. Amen. The Bible says, well, I didn't mean to throw a bad spirit on the subject here. Verse 6, but godliness with contentment is great gain. Amen. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. Amen. And having food and raiment, let us be therewith content. But they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. Amen. For the love of money is the root of all evil. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which, while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. Oh, but thou, O man of God, flee these things. Follow after righteousness and godliness and faith and love and patience and meekness. Verse 17, charge them that are rich in this world. You say, preacher, who's that talking to? In the economy in which Paul was writing, everybody here today is rich. Amen. Around the world, everywhere but here, everyone in this sanctuary would be considered rich, wealthy beyond all imagination. And so the Bible says, charge them that are rich in this world that they be not high-minded, nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God which giveth us richly all things to enjoy. I like that. That they do good, that they be rich in good works, ready to distribute, willingly to communicate, laying up in store for them a good foundation against the time to come, that they may lay hold on eternal life. Avoiding the money trap, be careful of your love affair. Have you ever heard that maybe somebody is having a love affair? Could it be possible that a lot of Christians are having a love affair? Amen. You see, Jesus said over in Matthew 22 and verse 27, and he was asked, Master, which is the great commandment in the law? And he says, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, all thy soul, and all thy might, and thy neighbor as thyself. God says we ought to love him. The devil says we ought to love money. God says we ought to love him with all of our heart. And the world says we ought to love money with all of our heart. And I would say to you today that the love of money has shipwrecked more Christians. They have no trouble with faithfulness to church. They have little problems with faithfulness to pray and read their Bible. But they've hit a stump, spiritually speaking, when it comes to money. Amen. That love affair with money is so strong and so stringent, they just can't get over it. The love of money has shipwrecked more Christians and have destroyed more homes and more marriages, enslaved more innocent children, caused more wars, and closed more churches than all other evils and sins and addictions known to mankind. More divorces are caused by money than any other subject. More church fights have been isolated and accumulated by the love of money than anything else I know. On the other hand, the love of God has saved more sinners, helped more Christians, salvaged more homes, and secured more marriages, and stopped more wars, and healed more hurts, and built more churches than any other thing that I know of in the world. So today, the question is, who do you love most? Or what do you love most? Amen. Or the question might be to me, maybe not to you only, but what do I love the most? What do I get more security from than any other thing in all this world? I just pitch that out to you because the love of money, you notice in verse 10, the desire for money. Oh yes, we must be careful and we must guard against an excessive amount of means and priorities and love put on money, because the Bible says it gathers wings and flies away. You don't believe me? You should have invested in the stock market about 3 years ago. The deception of money, the destruction of money. Society, as we know it, is in love with money. Amen. What is the major number one issue in the world today? Is it the love of God? Is it the care of sinners dying and going to hell? Is it little children being enslaved in sex camps around the world? No, it is the economy. You read the news, you grab the news, you listen to the news, and the number one thing in the world today is the economy. And the number one problem today is credit. The number one issue today, even above terrorism, even beyond our education, it's the economy. You know what you're more concerned with at your house right today than any other thing probably is the economy of the household. Today, already one of our men have come to me and said, my wife got laid off this past week. Please pray for us that we will have the faith and trust in God to keep on keeping on. Amen. We all need that. Amen. We all worry about our security. We worry about these things. But may I say to you today that the number one issue and the number one problem today is the economy. Is there anyone here today who received a credit card offer in the mail this week? Don't raise your hand. Because we'll probably, the average family, whether you have good credit or not, will get probably upwards of 25 offers this year in the mail. Just fill it out, send it in, and you can have credit. Am I about right? Someone has said credit cards let you start at the bottom and then dig you a hole deeper. America is at the bottom. And we're digging a hole deeper, deeper, deeper. The average adult receives 32 plus or minus a few credit card offers per year, regardless of their credit history. The average American has 4 credit cards with an average total credit card balance of $9,000. That's average. You say, well, I'm working. I'm trying to get to average. Now, I want you to think about having a $9,000 balance being sucked in by the minimum pay plan scheme. If you owe $9,000 on a credit card, are you ready? And you pay 3% of the minimum payment, it will take you 42 years to pay it off. And you will pay a total of $14,000 on that credit card. A lot of people are in a hole because you cannot control your love for junk. Ask your question. What do you think our teenage girls' favorite pastime? You're welcome. Dating is number two. 93% of all the young teenage females that was polled said that they'd rather go shopping as anything else in the world. One father said, if my girls don't go to the mall for 3 days, the mall sends them a get well card. Is there anybody here? And this unhealthy drive for more devastates the finances in the average home. It devastates families. And it devastates churches. It devastates countries. It devastates societies. The love of money. By the way, you probably know that the real challenge and the real struggle in our heart is between gold and God. Matthew chapter 6. You got time? Matthew 6. The real struggle is not you getting mad at me because I'm talking about money. But in the book of Matthew, chapter number 6, it shows us the real struggle. And I want you to turn there, if you would, please. And I don't want to make you mad today. I honestly don't. But I'd like for something to surface in your life. Many of our ladies, and I know good ladies, wonder why we're where we are. We look across the street at somebody else that does not love God and does not give to God. And it is seemingly, they have so much more to protect, to care for, to covet after, to be devoted to. And sometimes we get that all mixed up. We're to love God. We're to care more about God. We're to be devoted to God. And the less junk we got, the less attention that junk draws from us. Amen. I know good men. I have had a wonderful friend that I went to Bible college with. And he didn't care about money. He was in love with a charge he got from trying to get money. He'd get money and give it away. But he could never get over the love and the lust of achieving. Until one day in Colorado, his truck turned over and killed him. Young man, preacher, who couldn't get money out of his system. And God said, well, I'm going to get you out of the system. And God graduated Brother Craig. And if he could come back today, he would tell you, you need to throw your checkbook away and get you a Bible. Amen. Dump your pride of who you are and what you are and what you can do. And start trusting God for what he can do. Amen. And what he wants to do in your life. Amen. Here's the real struggle. Verse 19, lay up for yourselves. Lay not for yourself treasures upon earth. Lay up for yourself treasures. Lay not up for yourself treasures on earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. I've heard many wealthy men brag about how many times they've been broke. I guess it's a lot of fun being broke. Well, you know something? I have never been broke. Because I never had anything to be broke from. You know what happened to rich folks? Thieves and rust and moth breaks in and steals. But lay up your treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, to where thieves do not break through and steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Anybody believe that?
Amen.
Verse 24, no man can serve two masters. Is that what it says? Would you look at the master deal? No man can serve two masters. Somebody's going to be your master today. Do you know money enslaves? Money dictates to you and to me. If it becomes our master, we're enslaved to it. We're entrapped by it. We're confused by it. We're deceived by it. That money says, I'll make you happy. Rockefeller was asked, how much money is enough? You know what he said? Just a little more. See, truth being, you have never been content with what you've got because it's not enough. It masters. No man can serve two masters. Now, I didn't write this. I'm just reading it. Okay, is that all right with you? I'm just an errand boy. I'm the messenger. I do not deal with origination. I'm just in management. I'm not in originating, okay? And so the Bible says, no man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. I wonder how many of us, unknowingly, unintentionally, have fallen into the trap, the money trap. The more we got, the better we feel. The more we got, the more important we feel. You know, I don't understand why American Express has got a green one, a gold one, and a platinum one. I guess you just feel better if it costs you more to have it. You know, I can sit in velour seats and feel just as good if it's got a seat warmer as if it's leather seats. Amen. I wonder if there's anybody here today has fallen into the money trap. And I'd like to just, I've got two or three minutes. And I'd like to show you the results of Christians falling into the money trap. What happens when we watch the news We let folks program us. We let the educational institutions of the world program us that if we can get all this junk around us and we can put so many figures on our resume and so many figures on our financial statement, whether it's a lie or not, what happens when a Christian falls into the money trap? How do we know we've fallen into the money trap? Did you tithe today? You say, I tithe when I'm here. No, you ought to tithe whether you're here or not. Amen. Tithing is not geographical. Well, I haven't fallen. Well, did you tithe today? If you tithe, did you enjoy it? Amen. See, here we receive offerings, but if you don't like that, we don't too bad about taking one. How? What happens? Number one. When you fall into the money trap and fail to give God what is His, the Bible says that you rob God, and in turn, God curses you and your family. Did you know that? The Bible says, in Malachi, you say, that's the Old Testament. I'm glad you told me that. Because the Bible said, for I am the Lord, I change not. Amen. And then he said, will a man rob God? But ye have robbed me, he said. And then, wherein have we robbed thee? The Bible says. And God said, you've robbed me in tithes and offerings. Because you brought me in tithes and offerings, you're cursed with a curse. Let me ask you something. Is God's blessings worth 10%? Since it's football season and I thought you'd enjoy a good football joke, this is a blonde football joke. But if it offends you, it is a bald-headed woman's joke. A guy took his girlfriend to a football game. And you know, anybody that goes to a football game when you've got television, I don't understand you. I'll let you borrow my binoculars if you would like to see those guys are not ants. They are men down there. And they had great seats right behind the team's bench. After the game, the fella asked how she liked the experience. Oh, she said, I really liked it. She replied, I really like those tight pants and big muscles. But I just couldn't understand why they were killing each other over 25 cents. Of course, her date looked kind of like Jim every once in a while and said, well, what do you mean 25 cents? The guy was dumbfounded. She said, well, I saw them out in the middle of the field flip a coin. One team picked it up, and for the whole game, all I heard is, get the quarterback! Get the quarterback! And then she said, hello, it's only 25 cents! Hello, it's only 10%. Hello! Now, if you didn't laugh, you've already fell in the money trap. And you say, well, so what? There ain't no so what to it. God will not bless you with your hand in the kitty. God said, I will curse you with a curse. So please, whatever you do, beware of the money trap that will cause you to fall in love with something more than you fall in love with God. Because God is not good at playing second fiddle with anyone. Secondly, it leads to poverty. Have you read Proverbs 11:24? You say, well, I got more money than I've ever had. How about spiritual poverty? How about physical poverty? How about domestic poverty? Preacher, I've got money. You do. Can it buy happiness? Can it buy a loving mate? Can it buy children with character and respect? The Bible says there is that scattereth and yet increases, and there is that withholdeth more than is meet, but it tendeth to poverty. Preacher, why would you say to me, beware of the money trap? Because it tends to poverty. You are living in a poverty-stricken country. We are broke and got more junk than any country in the world. We are in debt up to our ears, bless your heart, and communists own us, if you please, and we keep on buying and borrowing. We are controlled with an excessive desire for more. And we can't keep clean what we have now. The Bible said there is a sore evil which I have seen under the sun, namely riches kept to the hurt of those who have it. A little boy was given 10 $1 bills and sent to his room. His mother heard the little boy inside as he counted the $1 bills and said, the first $1 bill is God's. The second $1 bill is God's. And the mother rushed into the room and said, no, darling, you misunderstood. Tithing, the first dollar bill is God's. That's tithing. The little boy said, yes, I gave the first dollar bill to God because it was His. I gave the second one because I wanted to. You know why you didn't give today? You didn't want to. Either that or your wife didn't want you to. And I just want to tell you, that ain't the way you get out of a hole. That's not how you raise good kids. That's not how you maintain a good relationship. Because when you fall into this money trap and everything revolves around money, you, my dear friend, are the most poverty-stricken person in all the world. Your life is made up of keys and locks and security guards trying to keep the meager amount that you've accumulated. God help us. What time is it? You said it's time to quit. You said it's time to quit. I didn't say it's time to quit. Thirdly, if I fall into the money trap, I become a poor steward and a bad witness of the grace of God. A bad steward and a poor witness. The Bible said it's required in the steward that a man be found faithful. Luke 16 says that the Lord came and said, give an account of thy stewardship. A daddy who had wasted money on booze and drugs and alcohol and won't provide for the children is a bad dad.
Amen.
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 A bad steward. A man that will not take care of the work of God through which he was saved and forgiven, blessed above all measure. A person who would not take care of that kind of work is a poor steward and a bad witness for the grace of God.
Amen.
Beware of the money trap.
Amen.
I'm not saying you're there. I'm just saying beware. It is there. Because the love of money is the root of what?
All evil.
All evil. All evil. They that would be rich, oh, have fallen into many hurtful lust. And here it is, and snare.
Amen.
You know what a snare is? You know what a snare is? A snare is a trap. I was hunting out at Flat Top Ranch one night. Probably as good a dog as ever owned in my life. If I had him today, you couldn't buy him for $10,000. But for $50,000, you could. I raised his mother, his grandmother, his granddaddy, his grandmother, grandfather, and all the way back. I turned him loose on that big ranch, and I heard him in there just barking like he'd treed. Made my way to where he was, and I said, suddenly no trees around. Walked up to Concho, and he'd tried to go under a fence, and a snare was around his neck. And was smart enough not to put any pressure on that snare, because if he'd have pulled on the snare, it eventually choked him to death. He was smart enough to just stand there without putting any pressure on that snare and bark like he was treed. He knew if he treed, I'd be there. Wish we had a lot of Christians had that much sense. Because we get in that snare and we just keep pulling him. Keep pulling him. Keep charging him. Keep charging him. Keep charging him. Make an excuse and make an excuse till eventually it's choked us. The Bible says, drowned in perdition and destruction. Please don't get mad at me today. Beware of the money trap.
Amen.
I close with this. You say, that's good. Number one, if you fall into that trap, more than likely, you'll not tithe. And if you don't tithe, you rob God.
Amen.
And are living under a curse. What kind of pastor would I be not to warn you of that? Don't get mad at me today, please. If you want to borrow money because you've overspent, come see me. I'll loan it to you. No, I'll take that back. Number two, it tends to poverty. Some of the most bankrupt people I know of in all the world are Christians who have fallen into this trap. Amen. It also gives out a poor witness. Lastly, when a Christian falls into the money trap and everything is judged and regulated by junk, by mammon, by money, the house of God is forsaken.
Yes,
what a shame. It starts with a tithe. Then it's a Wednesday night. Then it's a Sunday night. And then anything that comes up is permissible. We can miss that service too. When there was a time when you didn't miss for any reason. Divers temptations and lust, and we look, and that would look good at the house, and the church has lots of money anyhow, so let's just spend it on furniture, and one time won't matter. One time it won't matter at all.
Yes, it will.
Temptation. Charge it. Trapped.
Amen. Amen.
Hurtful lust. Destruction. Perdition. Those are pretty bad words. I don't know what they mean, but they sound bad.
Amen.
But what's worst of all is the house of God is forsaken. I don't have time, but you can read in Nehemiah chapter 13 about Nehemiah being gone for 2 years. And while Nehemiah was gone, people got carried away with materialism and fell into the money trap. And the priest moved Tobiah, an Arabian, into the house of God. No tithes, no offerings were being given. And all the staff of the temple had to be dismissed. And the world moved in. And God moved out. And then he says in verse 13, I think it is, why is the house of God forsaken? I just would thought I'd drop by today to kind of warn everybody. Would you please, in this world in which we live, when everything is about economy, about money, about credit, about affluency, about things, about junk, you think we might ought to be just a little careful about the money trap? I close. What good clue could I give you or myself that we're in danger of the money trap? Let me give you one clue. If it's hard to give, you've fallen into the money trap. Did you know that the very first person to reach the status of billionaire in America, who knew how to set goals and to follow through, at the age of 23 was a millionaire. At the age of 50, a billionaire. Every decision, his attitude and relationship was tailored and created his personal power and wealth. But 3 years later, at the age of 53, he became ill. His entire body racked with pain and lost all the hair on his head. He completely agony. The world's only billionaire could buy anything he wanted, but he could not digest milk and crackers. The world's only billionaire could buy the best doctors in all the world, but he could not digest milk and crackers. An associate wrote, he could not sleep, he would not smile, and nothing in life meant anything to him. His personal high-skilled physicians was absolutely helpless and said to the man, "You'll be dead in 1 year." A billionaire. The year passed agonizingly slow as he approached death. One morning, he remembered a dream he had. He could barely recall the dream. Was able suddenly to realize that he was not in control of his life. Billions, but not in control. So he decided that he would call of all of his attorneys in and all of his accountants and managers and announced that he wanted to channel all of his assets to hospitals, research, and mission work around the world. Billions. On that day, John D. Rockefeller establish his foundation. I don't know if you know it, Mark, but the new direction evidently and eventually have led to the discovery of penicillin, cures for all strains of malaria, diphtheria, tuberculosis, and the monies he channeled healed the diseases that he was dying of. But probably the most amazing thing happened was the moment he began to give, his chemicals in his body began to react. And the man who was supposed to die at 53 died at 98. All because he freed himself from the money trap. Amen. You see, God knows us. He created us, and he created us to be givers, not takers.
Amen.
Because those who have been born again take on the nature of he who they were born of, and God is a giver. Because God so loved this world that he reached to the bottom and got the best he had and sent his only begotten Son. I just wonder today, how close to the snare of the love of money have you become? Have you yielded to the temptation? You be careful, because there's many foolish and hurtful lusts which await those who are drowned in destruction and perdition. O man of God, flee these things.